Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's second quarter 2025 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded August 13th, 2025. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. I would now like to turn over the call to Mr. Michael Klahr, Head of Investor Relations. Mr. Klahr, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us for Bank Leumi's second quarter 2025 results conference call. Joining me today is Mr. Omer Ziv, Deputy CEO and Head of the Capital Markets Division, and Ms. Hagit Argov, CFO and Head of the Finance Division. The presentation that we will be using is available on the IR section of the bank's website. I would like now to turn the call over to Hagit.
Thank you, Michael. Good day, everyone. I'm very pleased to be here with you today and to present our strong second quarter 2025 financial results. Let's get started. First, some key takeaways. Bank Leumi, over many quarters, continued to present high and stable results. This quarter, ROE was 16.2%, and net profit was 2.6 billion shekel. Look, it's worth noting, if we adjust for excess capital, meaning if capital was reduced to the bank's internal CET1 requirement, our ROE would have been even stronger, above 18% in the second quarter and the first half of the year. Credit and deposit growth increased significantly, both reflecting the resilience of the economy and driving increased activity and higher revenues. We continue to manage costs effectively, driving a further improvement in our efficiency ratio. Credit quality metrics further improved. They have been among the best in the sector consistently for a long period. We continue to present significant excess capital, as I mentioned, and healthy liquidity ratios. Following the Bank of Israel approval to increase the payout ratio to 50% from 40%, Leumi announced a combined dividend and buyback of 1.3 billion shekels for the second quarter. This represents 50% of the net profit. We can see that Leumi is well on the track to meet its 2025 and 2026 financial targets. Before we dive into the details, let me start with a brief update on the macroeconomic environment. Let's turn to slide four, highlighting key macro indicators. Despite the conflict with Iran that happened in June and the ongoing war in Gaza, the Israeli economy continues to demonstrate resilience. Economic indicators showed continued expansion in the second quarter. While the conflict with Iran had a temporary negative impact on economic activity, the end of the conflict saw a strong improvement in market sentiment and a reduction in Israel's sovereign risk. The Bank of Israel estimates real GDP growth of 3.3%, as you can see in the top left graph, for 2025, driven by domestic demand and fixed investment. In addition, exports of high-tech services, a key engine of the Israeli economy, have accelerated in recent months, and the labor market remains tight, as we can see in the bottom left. But a high level of uncertainty still continues around the macroeconomic outlook, given the geopolitical environment. Let's move to slide five. Slide five provides a snapshot of our quarterly performance. As mentioned, net income for Q2 2025 was 2.6 billion shekels, and ROE was 16.2%. The cost-income ratio was especially low at 26.9%, down from 28.7% in Q2 2024, supported by higher net interest income, higher fees, and lower costs. Our cost-income ratio continues to lead the Israeli banking sector and is among the best globally. We at Leumi continue doing more with less. Credit loss expenses were 0.19% in Q2 and 0.12% for half one 2025. Specific provisions were offset by strong collections in the quarter. Collective provisions were higher. The increase reflects both the strong growth in the loan portfolio and the cautious approach in light of ongoing geopolitical uncertainty. Credit growth of 5.7% quarter on quarter, with strong demand for corporate credit in particular as the economy continues to recover. The book value per share of the bank increased 3.2% in the quarter and is up 14% over the past 12 months to almost 44 shekels. So overall, we delivered strong, consistent, and high quality performance, as you see. Moving to slide 6, we shows the breakdown of income and expenses. Net interest income rose 4% year on year to 4.5 billion shekels, supported by volume growth and partly offset by a lower CPI compared with Q2 2024. Fee income grew strongly, up 11.4% year on year, supported by higher financing transactions fees on higher activity and higher securities and FX fees. Expenses declined, reflecting tight cost control. As a result of the above, pre-provision net revenues, bottom right, increased year on year by 7%. By the way, Bank Leumi continues to support and assist its customers affected by the war. Benefits to those impacted by the war were 112 million shekels in the first half of 2025. Most of this was in the second quarter as part of the recently announced Bank of Israel program. Slide 7 summarizes our F1 2025 results. And as you can see, F1 results followed a similar trend to the one in the second quarter. So let's turn to the next slide, slide 8. In slide 8, we can see the net interest income and NIM. Net interest income increased by more than half a billion shekels quarter on quarter, helped by the higher quarterly CPI and strong credit growth. NIM, excluding CPI, has remained stable over the last 5 quarters. Turning to slide 9, which highlights our fees. Here we see that quarterly fees increased by 11.4% year on year, and we are very happy about that, as economic activity continues to recover and was supported by financing transactions due to higher volumes, strong securities activities, and FX trading. F1 2025 over F1 2024 displayed similar trends. Slide 10 showed the continued improvement in the bank's multi-year cost-income ratio. Our cost-income ratio improved further to 26.9% in the second quarter and overall 29.4% in the first half. Turning to slide 11, the development of credit loss expenses in F1. Specific provisions continue to be very low, reflecting the bank's high-quality credit portfolio. In F1 2025, the bank recorded income from specific provisions of 180 million shekels from strong recoveries. In F1 2025, total credit loss expenses were 0.12% of gross loans at a similar level to F1 2024. Slide 12 presents the high quality of our credit portfolio. NPLs declined to a low level of 0.43% in Q2 from 0.51% at the end of Q1. Troubled debt were stable at 1.43% of gross loans. Provisions for credit losses were up slightly at 6.8 billion shekels, and while the coverage ratio declined slightly due to the strong credit growth in the quarter, the rate of provisions to NPLs increased 3.2 times. Slide 13 shows the strong credit growth. Credit growth in the first half of the year was 7.4%, supported by the ongoing resilience of the economy, with growth mainly coming from corporate and mortgage. Within the corporate division, there was a strong demand from real estate and infrastructure projects. The next slide, slide 14, shows the bank's diversified deposit base. Total deposits were up 4% in H1 2025. Liquidity ratios remain robust, with the LCR ratio at 130%. Let me now move to slide 15. Slide 15 shows our LC capital and leverage ratios. The Core Tier 1 ratio increased by 13 basis points in the quarter to 12.28%, with the bank's capital buffer now standing at more than 2%, or almost 11 billion shekels, which is up almost 1 billion shekels from the previous quarter. The total capital ratio was stable at 14.86%, also well above the Bank of Israel minimum requirement of 13.5%. Turning to slide 16, the bank's capital return. The bank declared a cash dividend of almost 1 billion shekels for the second quarter, in addition to an approved share buyback of 326 million shekels, bringing the total capital return to shareholders in the quarter to more than 1.3 billion shekels. This represents 50% of quarterly net profit versus 40% in Q1 2025. The quarterly capital return is equal to an annualized return of almost 6% at the current share price. In conclusion, and turning to slide 17, let me summarize. The bank continues to present consistent and strong financial performance with high ROE, even during macroeconomic and geopolitical uncertainty. We remain highly disciplined on costs, resulting in ongoing efficiency improvement and the best cost-income efficiency ratio among Israeli banks and one of the best globally. The bank's strong profitability and healthy capital buffer enable us to continue growing in our target segment and also allowing us to share higher returns with shareholders through dividends and our buyback program. With that, I will now open the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Chris Reimer of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on the solid ROE figures. Regarding the excess capital balance, do you see a case where Bank of Israel would potentially allow a special one-time dividend to decrease the balance?
Hi, Chris. Good afternoon.
Hi.
It's hard to answer this question. It depends on the geopolitical circumstances. As we saw in this quarter, due to the improvement in the situation, the Bank of Israel increased the dividend distribution ratio from 40% to 50%. I believe that as long as we will see the situation stable for a longer time, the Bank of Israel will also continue to release the limitation on dividends. If we look backward, I think it was two or three years ago when there were limitations that were caused by the COVID. When the Bank of Israel released this limitation, it enables the bank to distribute also one-time dividends. We just have to be patient, and I assume that when the situation will be stable for a longer period, the Bank of Israel will release gradually its limitation.
Got it. And just on credit, how do you see the scope for continued growth in the credit portfolio, particularly corporate and mortgages? And would continued double-digit growth potentially cause you to revise your guidance?
So first of all, as in a previous quarter, we consistently focus on growth, as you mentioned, in mortgages, middle market, and corporate. We are currently strongly above our above the target that we put at the beginning of the year, which were 8 to 10% pace of growth. While only in the first half of the year, we are already on pace of growth, which is nearly 7.5%. The growth is coming from different area in the corporate, lots of infrastructure projects. I would say that it relates partially to the rebound that happened after any war that Israel had in the past. So there is a strong demand. It's still early to say whether we are going to update the target. We will we'll discuss it at the end of the year.
Got it. Thanks. That's very
helpful. But maybe I will add one more thing, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, maybe I will add one more thing. I would like to add that despite the high pace of growth that the bank presents for a long period, it's not the first quarter that the bank presents a very high pace of growth. We continue to preserve and very strong parameters regarding the quality of our credit portfolio. As Sagit mentioned, the NPL even improved to a level of 0.4%. The travel debt ratio remained at a level of 1.4%. The specific provision were negative 15 basis points. So by all dimensions, the Bank of Israel, the Bank Leumi, despite the high pace of growth, continue to preserve a conservative and very strong parameter regarding the quality of its credit portfolio.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Priya Ratud of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, both. Thank you for taking my question. Just two from me. The first is a follow-up on the credit growth. More specifically on your mortgage lending. Again, it was a really strong quarter of growth, but when I look at housing market transactions, the story does look a little different. So, you know, new home sales are falling and the stock of unsold homes are rising. Can you just speak to where the mortgage growth or the strength in mortgage growth is coming from and how sustainable is that going forward? And secondly, on the payout cap, in the case that the 50% is or the BOI can allows the 50% to continue, how are you thinking about your capital priorities in terms of dividend versus a buyback? Thank you.
Okay. As for the question, the mortgage demand is mainly related to construction to private individuals who buy their apartment. The demand is called the bulk. I think you mentioned the increase in the inventory of unsold apartments, but this number is a bit misleading since it counts apartments from the date of the permission that a contractor gets. So it counts actually apartments that that didn't even start to be built. So it's a little bit misleading. The demand is strong. The demand is strong despite the high level of the interest rate. I believe it relates to two factors. First of all, the high level of the interest rate is here to stay. When the interest rate went up, it was people, some of our customers, thought that if they will postpone the acquiring of their house, the interest rate might went down significantly. As we look at the inflation rate, it doesn't seem that the interest rate is going to decrease significantly. And secondly, when you look at the other when you look at the rental market, so the prices in the rental area continue to increase. And so most of the customers prefer, despite of the high level of the interest rate, to buy their mortgages. The dividend and the buyback. For years, we mix the dividend payout ratio between buyback and dividend and cash. We do it for a long period. Because there are different considerations of our shareholders, and we would like to, we think that the mix is the best way of the bank to meet our shareholders' needs. So we have continued to do it consistently in this quarter, and we will continue to do it in the following quarters as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Canberk Bennings of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, just two questions. Number one, on the cost-to-income ratio. Your half-year cost-to-income ratio is already below the 2024 figure. I'm just wondering how much lower do you think it can go, and have you got a specific target in mind? The second question is on fees. You know, the fee income grew pretty strong this quarter. Can you elaborate what drove this and what are the trends going forward for the rest of the year?
Hi, thank you for the question. First of all, as we talk about the cost income ratio, it's a moving target. You know, Bank Leumi consistently, quarter after quarter, has continued to increase its income and decrease its expenses. When we say that we are doing more with less, it reflects in the financial parameters. Quarter after quarter, consistently, year after year, we increase our income and decrease our expenses. It's a moving target because it's mainly based on technology. And the better technology we have, we can do much better with less. And the technology is here to stay and to improve. So just, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, we are around 60% or 70% cost-income ratio. Currently, in the quarter, we are below 27%. In the first half of the year, we are slightly less than 30%. And as I mentioned, this number will continue to improve due to technology. It doesn't mean that every quarter we will see an improvement, but in a long-term basis, we will continue to improve. And we are very proud of this ratio. According to our knowledge, it's one of the best cost-income ratio, not only in Israel, which is the best, of course, but also in the world. And we are very proud of it. As for the fees, so the fees are driven by the increase in our activities. I mean financial transactions fees, which are due to the high pace of growth of our credit portfolio, FX fees, and security fees, because not only we increase our activity in the own balance sheet items, but also we saw a significant increase in our non balance sheet activity, which is reflected in our fees.
Perfect, thanks.
The next question is from Lorenz Bonnet of BNP. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Congratulations for this solid performance in the light of the occasion of the Q2 2025. One question, due to uncertainty geopolitics, looking at your credit portfolio among different segments, do you foresee further deterioration on some of them? And maybe for one of the segments, if any, can you elaborate a bit more if you expect And if yes, for which segment you would expect? You mentioned you alluded to the real estate market mortgage, but I'd like to know what is your opinion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. First of all, Israel is involved in, unfortunately, in a war for the last 2 years. And after this long 2 years, we have continued to present very strong parameters regarding our credit portfolio. You can see that the NPL is improving. You can see a very low troubled debt ratio. You can see that for a long, long period, we present negative specific credit loss expense ratio, which is the main parameter that reflect the quality of our credit portfolio among the credit loss expense ratio. And despite that, we continue to be cautious. And as Hagit mentioned, despite this very strong parameter, we still present we still increase the collective provision, not only because of the increase in our credit portfolio, but also because of our cautious approach toward the geopolitical circumstances. Now, when you look at the business that we are focused at, we are focusing our growth in mortgages, in middle market, corporate, including real estate. When you look at our SME portfolio or our individual portfolio, unsecured individual portfolio, you will see that the increase is very limited since this segment are exposed much more to the credit risk than the other segments. And our target is to improve the ROE and not the NIM. So we look at the NIM net of the credit loss expenses, and our strategy is to focus our growth in the less risky segment, which I just mentioned. Now, as for the mortgages, the mortgages in arrears of over 90 days are negligible, and this number is improving quarter after quarter. So the credit risk involved in mortgages is very low, and this is apart from the fact that we have a very strong collateral, which is the apartment itself. As for the real estate, so the real estate business are composed of three major components: residential construction loans, which are about 60% of our real estate exposure, office space, which is around 15%, and the commercial real estate. As for the residential construction loans, so the main issue that we are looking at there is the absorption rate, which is a very, very high number. The absorption rate measure how much the price can go down and we will still be able to collect our loan. And we don't have even one project with absorption rate, which is lower than 25%. Actually, when you look at the NPL of this business, you can see that it's even lower than the total NPL. It's about 0.3%. And as for the office space and the rental prices are quite stable with very high occupancy rate. And as for the commercial real estate, it's mainly a small neighborhood centers with a very strong demand. So it's true that Israel is going through a complex geopolitical situation, but this is the picture for a long period. And we can see, we already have experience of 2 years, and we can see that the quality of the credit portfolio, despite the geopolitical situation, continues to be very well.
The next question is from Liran Lublin of IBI. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, good afternoon and well done on another very strong quarter. My question is on credit growth in the first half of the year. The way I look at it, I see a significant part of this growth coming from credit to financial services. And I was wondering, is this growth sustainable in nature, or is it more of a one-time event?
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I will say as follows. First of all, even if you neutralize the capital market activity, you can see you will still remain with a pace of growth, which is a 5.6% for the first half of the year, which is still very strong. And as for the capital market activity, I would say that, you know, it's volatile from quarter to quarter. So we are in a trend in which we increase significantly our customer base because of the full solution and the very good solution that we gave these customers via our capital market division. Increase significantly and consistently our customer base and the product that we provide to these customers. We are entering into new activities, which increase this activity by definition. But of course, it's volatile and depend on the capital market. And as I mentioned, even if you neutralize that, we are still in a very high pace of growth for the first half of the year.
Great. Thank you very much.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from David Kaplan of Psagot. Please go ahead.
Hi. One quick one on your specific provisions. Was that based on collections in the quarter, on a change in the model in the quarter? Was it a specific customer? Was it across the board? Can you explain how you were able to register such a significant reduction in provision for this on the specific level? Thanks.
Sure. Thank you for the question. We didn't change any model. At the end, basically, it's based on the fact that we collect more than we write off. So there were a collection in the second quarter. Secondly, when the situation of our customer is improving, so you see a movement from the specific provision to the collective provision. I mean that, for example, if a customer was under, there are three certifications for the situation of our customers, which are troubled debt customers. It's a customer under special mention, subordinate, and impaired debt. So if, for example, there is a customer which his situation improved and he is not longer anymore classified as subordinate debt, but now he is classified as customer under special supervision, so we see an income in the specific provision and an increase in the collective provision. But in the bottom line, it means that the quality of the credit was further improved because the situation of the specific customer has improved. So basically, it's based on the fact that we collect more than we write off, and improvement in the situation of our customers.
So it wasn't a specific customer, but rather across the board, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's across the board.
Okay, and then one just quick question about the Bank of Israel's announcement about the 50% dividend payout. Is that retroactive as well, or is it only from this point forward? In other words, is there additional capital you can pay out from 2024, or net income you can pay out from 2024, when you only pay the 40% dividend payout ratio at that point?
No, the decision of the Bank of Israel or the release that enables banks in Israel to pay 50 dividends is only 50% of dividend is only for the first quarter. For the second quarter, we don't have the ability to do catch up. And as you can see from our number, we have the full capability to pay much higher dividends when it's impossible.
Okay, so it's not for 2025, it's from Q2 forward. So even for the first quarter of 2025, it would not be applicable to 50%, correct?
Currently you are correct. But of course, in the following quarter, the Bank of Israel, I still will consider it again. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this discussion, if the situation continues to be stable, I expect the Bank of Israel will consider to release more limitations regarding the dividend distribution ratio.
Okay, thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Leumi's second quarter 2025 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.